Good morning. I have a brief announcement. My name is John Wagner. I'm a senator on Student Senate. I have a brief announcement. Tonight, if you look at the bottom part of your bulletin, we have a movie night put out by Student Senate. It's called Return to Grace. It's about Luther and his legacy. And it's going to be at 8 p.m. tonight in Huntsie Hall, room 129. And so I'd like to see at least a good portion of you there. It should be pretty good. Thank you.
Read from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 17 to 22. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of truth, and now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A number of years ago, when I was reading these words for the epistle lesson at our Easter sunrise service, a very unusual thing happened. We were having a sunrise service in Arizona, and we often wanted to do that outside. And so we had a lot of chairs that were set up there. Pretty good attendance for a 6 o'clock service in the morning. Still a little dark that way, though, too. And yet they had brought a podium outside, too. And just as I was walking up to the podium, ready to read these words of the epistle lesson for the day, a man in the second row, I believe it was, or so, he just suddenly startled us all. He just rushed toward the podium. And I was really taken aback. I thought, maybe, what's he going to do, knock me over or what? And he was a fairly sizable guy. He came running right at the podium. And all of a sudden, he just stomped. And without my knowing what was going on quite yet, everybody else clapped. I thought, what is this, some kind of practical joke? Then I looked around the side of the podium, and I realized that what he had just squished was a great big scorpion. And it was making its way around the podium and ready to come up under my gown and so on. And suddenly my expression, I'm sure, turned pretty quickly there. At first I was so startled and afraid even almost, what's happening? And I was turned to joy. And I too, I think, joined in a little bit later, I think, clapping as well. But it was kind of interesting that happened right as this text was being read. Because really, in a way, it did serve as a spontaneous illustration, I'd say, without even having to comment on it. It made a spontaneous illustration for everybody there. Because isn't it really true that through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and then his rising from the dead that Easter morning, isn't it really true that he had taken care of the scorpion sting of death that way, sin itself, granting us the gracious forgiveness of sins? And therefore, because that's the case, he really was squelching, he was squishing death itself right before us that way through his rising from the dead, defeating it fully for us, even if we do go through temporal death, of course, in this world here. But he was defeating that. And we know that through faith in his resurrection from the dead and what he's done for us, that we look forward to an eternal life in heaven as believers in Christ. And it's not just that we're looking forward with this spiritual way of being in heaven with him, when the soul leaving the body at the time of death, but even to be there with glorified bodies. And just yesterday, too, we were reminded of that, weren't we, in the reading, powerful reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he was emphasizing something so similar. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, our Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. We don't know, when we take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, this powerful resurrection chapter and one of the longest chapters in the Bible, one of the greatest ones ever written, we don't know exactly what the heresy was that was making its way into the congregation, though, regarding the whole matter of the resurrection. It appears to be that there were some people who were thinking that even though they were willing to acknowledge that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they felt that this could apply to those that were their fellow believers who had died before them, that it really might not be affecting them, that they couldn't really look forward to their own resurrection from the dead. And in this way, too, they were really questioning whether there is a true resurrection of the dead for themselves. Now, this was a real disconnect that way. And it reminds me of another disconnect, and that is when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian Christians. You recall that there was another kind of disconnect there. And in that case, he was saying to the people of the Galatian Christians, you know, don't you realize that you're saying that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins and that he's won salvation for you? And it's free, fully. It's all paid for. So why are some of you here believing that, oh yes, faith in Jesus is important, but I've got to also cooperate in my line of good works to a certain degree, especially even in terms of keeping the ceremonial law? And then Paul made that statement, didn't he? He said, if righteousness could be gained by the law, Christ died for nothing. He wanted them to realize this would be a disconnect to think about, oh, you believe in his death? But then it's a real disconnect if you aren't going to say your whole salvation's completed in what he did. Similarly, too, the Apostle Paul points out here about Jesus' resurrection with these people in Corinth. If it really were the case that people would not rise from the dead, and including them for themselves that way, then how could they really even be saying Jesus would rise from the dead? And then he was pointing out to them, if Christ has not been raised, then guess what happens to your whole Christian faith this way? It's really futile. It's all in vain. In fact, he makes the comment here that we are to be most pitiable of all men, most miserable that way. Why? Because then you'd be living your life and devoting so much time to something that really was not having a real effect, was not true. What would you be living for except this world, if that's it? But the Apostle Paul, by bringing this in here, is really saying the positive, isn't it? And that is, don't forget. And that's the whole thing about 1 Corinthians 15. This is such a solid fact. In fact, remember how he begins 1 Corinthians 15, talks about the witnesses that saw Jesus with his resurrection. Over 500 men at one time. So there was over 500 people that saw him at one time. And he says, since Christ has really risen from the dead, this is really what he's saying. We know that we too are not only going to be in heaven as believers in Christ with our souls going there, but then at the very last day too, we're going to have our bodies raised up to be glorified, to be like his. And he was having them realize, you're not understanding the full ramifications of the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and what it means for your life. So there had been a disconnect that way. Are there times in our life too where we can really have a kind of a disconnect this way and maybe not really be focusing on the full ramifications of what Easter means for our life? It's very interesting that in the book of Acts, think of how many times the resurrection of Jesus is always emphasized among the early Christians as so prominent in Sunday after Sunday, and that's where they're meeting on Sunday. And they'd mention it regularly. I remember a man coming up to me one time at a funeral, a dedicated elder of one of our congregations, and he came up to me and he said, you know, Pastor, because he had heard one of the readings that way too, and we talked about that. He said, I don't know if we really emphasize as much when we're even gathered at funerals about the resurrection of the body. We just came off of a Sunday where I'm sure many of us right here were responding regularly with people as we come into church and so on, or leaving church, and they'd say to us, he is risen, and we come back, he is risen indeed. Think of how often we're saying in our church services too, the words of the creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. And there, we're talking about even our own body being raised. Not just Christ's own resurrection. Our own bodies being raised as well. But so often, I think there can be a disconnect where we don't let it really sink in when it comes to our day-by-day living. And one of the ways this may also show up for us, too, is when it comes to how we speak of even our departed Christian loved ones with people around us who are not so churchy. Could it happen at times that we just simply say, well, we lost mom the other day, lost my dad the other day, or grandma or grandpa, and maybe don't take opportunity to say much else? Could it be that we simply say, well, so-and-so, and we know they're a believer, but still say it this way to others, they just succumbed finally to the cancer. Maybe we're a little more positive and say, but it sure is wonderful that so-and-so is able to live a pretty good life here and to have a pretty good enjoyment time while here, kind of a long time on this earth and so on. If we are giving people the impression that it is really a hope that somehow just for this life, of whatever kind of hope that it's just for this life. Wow. That's a real miserable situation, isn't it? In fact, you and I know that if people do not believe in Jesus Christ as the crucified and risen Lord Jesus and believe that he has truly paid for their sins and has even won for them eternal life in heaven, and that it's all by God's grace as a free gift, if they don't believe that, there is absolute condemnation people are facing. This is a serious issue, isn't it? But thanks be to God this way. We have comfort, we have strength, we have the confidence to know that because Jesus has done this for us through his work at Calvary, atoning for every one of our sins, and through his rising from the dead, that he has made it so that, yes, we're even going to be there with glorified bodies. As hard as that's to imagine when we think of the ways people can die and so on too, or even if there happens to be cremated remains or whatever, but we're going to be there with our flesh and glorified flesh to be with him for eternity. And that's why when it comes to Christian loved ones who die, we don't mourn like the rest of people in the world who have no hope, says Scripture. We believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And we believe that even if we're still alive at that time, just as it was true for the people in Corinthians that way, if they were still alive when Christ would return right away, well, they too would be caught up with them in the air to be with the Lord forever, body and soul. Therefore, encourage each other with these words is the way Paul emphasized that in another epistle. Picture our connection comfort with the resurrection of Christ, our confidence that we have. Picture it this way for a moment, and I know it's a limping illustration, but you know how in a womb, of course, the child is able to be alive inside that womb of the mother because of that umbilical cord and is receiving that sustenance that way, but still very much alive and is looking forward to the time of being of the birthing room that way, being born. Well, we could say it this way. We could say that our Lord Jesus Christ right now, because he's the first fruits, he's the guarantee that we're going to also rise from the dead ourselves. He is the down payment for us that way. And because of this, we know that we're connected to him, you might say, like a connecting cord. Even while we're in the womb of this present world that way, waiting for the grand and glorious birthing room of the mansions of heaven. And how are we really connected this way to this great resurrection truth? You know, it's through word and sacrament. It's the washing of water with the word. And baptism does also now save us, says another apostle, Apostle Peter. And in that same epistle, his first epistle, he began that epistle by even calling it the new birth that we have this way too. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And by the way, in chapter 3, when he said baptism does also now save us, he says it saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand. The scorpion-like sting of death has really been defeated by our Lord Jesus Christ through his glorious resurrection, his death and his resurrection. And as a result of that, he has completely stomped on death for us that way. He has brought to light, life and light, the immortality of the gospel, through the gospel. Some jokingly would say, I suppose this week, and especially thinking of yesterday, because tax day was extended, right? You've heard the saying, well, there's only two things really certain in life, and that is death and taxes. Yeah. Well, if you really are going to get right down to it and want to talk about two strong things that everybody should understand in our world today as so true, and nobody can shake it. And that is simply, again, this. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as a Savior, who do not understand that he is the one who is the resurrection and the life, and all the blessings that flow to us because of his death and resurrection,
will be eternally lost. But it's so true for us, the grand and glorious truth for all who hold this message, and it's for all people. But for us who believe it, we rejoice over it, that through faith in Jesus paying for our sins, and through faith in his glorious resurrection, we know that we have an eternity to look forward to, both in our soul and in our body. And what a tremendous thing to rejoice over. May God keep us in this resurrection connection, and may he also help us mention this connection to people who still need to know what our Lord Jesus Christ has to offer them as well. Let us pray. Thank you for giving us solid hope for eternity, O Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would keep us always close to you through use of your word and sacrament, and have us look forward with great anticipation to the day of our own glorious resurrection. We ask this in your risen name's sake. Amen.